This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello, whenever you are listening to the latest edition of That Millwall Podcast. Today, I'm going to say it's the three best looking members of the podcast that are on for today's one. We've got Stephen joining me. Evening, Stephen.
Always right at you, Dan. Perfect host. How you doing, mate? You right?
I'm very good, mate. I'm very good after Tuesday night. I'm also joined by Chris. Good evening, mate.
Good evening. Yeah, looking forward to this. It's been a while since I've been on one. So, and I couldn't have picked two better gentleman to be on it with. I certainly wouldn't have been on it wanted to be on it with Joe, so yeah.
Yeah, hopefully Joe will be listening to this back. So rather unusually at this point, I would throw a question to my panelists as the host, but I'm actually going to start off by putting the spotlight solely on myself and by making an apology to Ryan Longman, because I have slated this bloke near enough probably since he joined, to be completely honest. Other than his first few games where he has purple patch and scored his worldie against Rotherham, I've pretty much been slating him. I've been on his back the whole time, wondering how he's got minutes consistently under three different managers this season. And then he goes and shuts me and many other Lions fans up last night with what was, it's probably going to be our goal of the season. What do you think to that, chaps?
Yeah, I mean... Fair play for the public apology, Dan. It takes the measure of the man to come out and do that. I said on my post match last night that I'll be honest, I don't agree with your view on Ryan Longman. I think that he's 23 years old. He's on loan to us from Hull, and I don't think he was ever brought in to be an absolute starter. I really don't. Obviously, you've got to bear in mind Gary Rowett brought him in, right? So some time ago. But I think he is what he is. He is a, you know, fairly fit and athletic, versatile, half-decent squad player in the Championship. I think that's what he is. You know, do I think he's a player that should be first name on the team sheet? No. But as a lot of the players have come out on their social media and said it, I think even Kevin Nisbet said on his Instagram, about time we saw that, because we see it every day in training. So to your point as to why three managers have consecutively picked him, I think he has got quality in his locker. But he also, especially for a lone player, he didn't half put a shift in my view.
He does. That's one thing I've never criticised Longman for his work rate, but I've always just felt in terms of his end product, because Stephen's someone who sits in the upper tier of the cold blow lane. You've probably seen quite a few shots from Longman around that position heading your way, but not last night.
We caught a few.
the problem is, right, I'll be honest, I'm probably closer towards Dan's opinion than I am yours, Chris, but on the basis that I think it's clear and Hull fans have said, you know, he wasn't good enough for their squad. He wasn't good enough to play for them. They wanted to find better. And they were surprised that he joined another Championship club, which puts the frustration on us as a club, because we've taken someone that might be undesirable for other clubs that we might be necessarily competing with. Stephen, his work rate...
Quickly, agree with you, but he also played 40 times for Hull last season. So they can... You know, for them to say that he ain't good enough, fine. And I appreciate they've then gone on and bought Carvalho, and you know they're going, of course. But he did play a lot of games from last season. Yeah. I just wanted
absolutely
to say
no, he did. And look, again, work rate. You can't fault. He tries. He does try. I as I say, I'm closer towards Dan in the sense I do think that he's probably. The best way to describe him is one of the most frustrating players we've ever had, because he's got what he did in the locker last night. It was an amazing goal, took the defender on, did everything right. He couldn't write a better script, but you don't see that enough from him. And I know people say we're Millwall and they're the kind of players that we sign, the ones that are inconsistent. But when he's good, he scores good goals. But I think when he's bad, it's really bad. And I think that sometimes outweighs the judgment of the supporters.
Would you say at times, though, he's a little bit of a victim of himself, because as Chris kind of touched on, he's such a versatile player. I mean, we've seen him play this season as a right back, a right wing back, a left wing back, a centre attacking mid, a right midfielder, a left midfielder and a striker. So do you think he's probably exactly when you list it like that, it's incredible. I mean, versatility, I think, is a good trait to have. But do you think it's almost came back to bite him a little bit, because he maybe hasn't been able to play in a set position or managed to get consistent minutes? And obviously with the chopping and changing of managers and the different tactical styles, you think he's maybe just fallen a little bit victim to that?
I'll answer that. Yeah, possibly. I think it's been hard to get consistency in any, you know, how many different systems have we played this season under three different managers. So I think it's been hard to get consistency anyway. But, you know, it is, in my opinion, his best position is probably on the wide side towards the top end of the pitch, but not as an absolute forward, really. I don't really see him there. But I think that he's not been great. Let me ask you this question. I'll answer it and then I'll ask you. Would I sign him? Yes, I would, on a permanent. As long as the fee is not stupid. A couple of hundred grand, tops, no more. Would he be a starter for me? No. So I think that's kind of the way I see it. I think he quite clearly fits into the group. I think he's a Neil Harris type player. I think he'll give it his all. He's got development in him. He's 23. He can be clearly entrusted to do the defensive work that Harris wants our sort of wingers or forward players like to do. But at the same time, if we want to progress as a club and we want to be in the top half of the Championship, I don't think he's the answer. So that's why I would sign him. But for me, wouldn't be someone that I'd want to nail down to a permanent starting position. What do you guys think about that?
In all honesty, I wouldn't sign him on the basis of what you've just said, that if we want to improve the position of the club, the squad, I think we need to be looking at players that can't play in. I think, Dan, you listed 9 positions there that he's already played in. And whilst I know Millwall love a versatility player or utility, sorry, this is the word, isn't it? Utility player. I can't stand it when we have players that can play in multiple positions. I get sometimes needs must because of the budget. So you might be able to play as a holding midfielder and a centre-back, things like that. But for me, I think he was recruited to play at wing back by Gary Rowett. He was recruited for a specific role, and different managers have tried to slot him in because of his work rate. And, I take nothing away from him. He's going to win goal of the season. It's probably, and we'll come on to the game in a minute, but it's probably given us the biggest boost in a bid to survival, and we won't forget that. And you know, it will be, you know, it's a goal that we talked about for a while probably. But I just think for us to improve overall, I don't think we can be spending a budget on Ryan Longman. Unless, and this might be a contradictory, if Hull release him, then I would perhaps potentially pick him up on a free, but I wouldn't use funds that could be better used elsewhere.
And by the way, I guess we're probably saying the same sort of thing. You know, I said 200k tops, so 200k free is basically the same thing.
200k is nothing, really, is it?
Would I spend £500,000 on him? Absolutely not. No chance. But in the context of a huge summer, which I think is massive, and maybe that's one for another show, I think we'll need a little bit of consistency. He is of a good age versus a lot of other players at the club. He has got all the Millwall fundamentals of work rate. Possibly he could improve and he could come cheap. So that's kind of where I'm heading towards. Yes, I would. Because the other thing you've got to bear in mind, chaps, is I reckon we could see up to 8 to 10 players leave the club in the summer.
It's probably going to be a huge turnover.
I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that.
I think Chris, you've put across a very good argument in terms of keeping him, especially when you add in the fact there's going to be a huge squad turnover. And as you said, he's clearly a very popular member of the dressing room. And you saw the way the players were kind of pushing him towards the front of the celebrations at full time. I mean, that was right in front of me. And obviously, I think everyone's seen the videos on social media. And after giving him so much praise, I don't want to almost ruin it already, but I probably am kind of leaning a little bit more towards Stephen here than with you, Chris. Although you have put forward a very good argument, I can see why you kind of work in the sales industry, because it was very persuasive.
almost got you.
Almost got me. Not quite, mate. Not quite. But keep going. You might get me another time. But so listen, that's me saying sorry to Ryan Longman for all the slander that he's taken from me for most of the season.
Just before we move on, if Chris is that good, can we get him a job with Aldo in the board so we can get him in on transfers over the summer? If he's gonna get people convinced that easily, then he's got waiting for you at Millwall, mate.
Mate, my dream job, I tell you, God, what I would give to have Aldo's job. And I've probably got more qualifications than he has for it.
let's move on to the game as well. Let's just talk about the game last night. And I just want to say very quickly, again, without bringing down the whole tone of the episodes, the problems that we discussed on Sunday Night Live with myself, Stephen and Jay, a lot of them problems do still exist at the club. We can't just completely ignore them because we've beaten the league leaders 1-0, and it's a huge step towards where we want to be. So we can't just ignore them. There are problems there, but tonight we don't want to be speaking about them problems. We want to enjoy what was a huge night in terms of what this football club is trying to achieve for the rest of this month. And I think I'm going to say now, I actually thought that was one of our best performances of the season, considering you look at the calibre of their squad, you look at some of the players that are on the bench. I'm going to say probably Connor Cody. I think he cost them around £10 million in the summer, which is probably near enough more than almost all of our squad might sell for combined. So you're kind of looking at sums of money like that. So I think when you consider everything that we did last night, I think it was a fantastic team performance, obviously topped off by a wonderful goal. And I was having a chat with my dad in the car on the way back, and my dad said to me, "Who would you pick as man of the match?" And I said to my dad, I turned around to my dad and was like, "I almost can't pick one, because from Sarkic at the back to Obafemi up front, and I know some of the subs were only on very briefly, but I just felt everyone to a man last night was absolutely superb."
Can I just say as well, just on that, that it wasn't just the fact that how well that we played in terms of on the ball. I thought on the ball, we actually weren't bad. There were some really nice passages of play. Perhaps we'll come on to Obafemi's chance and other things, but we restricted a side that, if I've got this right, I saw a stat, I haven't fact-checked it, but Leicester haven't failed to score in a long, long time. I saw a figure quoted of about 20 games. So we've stopped a team scoring. That might not be, but I would imagine that they probably, if it's not 20, they've scored in the majority of the last 20 games.
Yeah.
They've failed to score four games this season.
There you go. There you go.
And I would also say as well, I know we've had the third game against them, so I might be cheating, but I can't, even if you wanted to just look at the two league games, I can't imagine many teams have scored three goals against them across 180 minutes either. I mean, even if you include our FA Cup game, I know it was kind of a couple of reserves from both teams, but that was that's five goals against them this season. I don't think even across two games, other teams might have scored that many.
No. And that's it. It wasn't just us. It was the fact that we made, in my opinion, and this, you know, I might get some pelters for this, but I think we made Leicester look pretty average. They come at us in the second half, and obviously they will, because they wanted to try and get a goal, and they threw all the, you know, the firepower on. But apart from Billy Mitchell, which again we'll come on to, that chance, Sarkic didn't really have much to do for me. And that's the most, one of the most pleasing things after being incredibly leaky and all over the place on Saturday at Huddersfield.
Agree. And I think the other thing as well is I'll ask both of you chaps this. Do you think if we hadn't have lost to Huddersfield in the manner that we did, that we would have got the reaction that we did last night?
Probably not, no. And I think that kind of goes back because I mean, I wasn't with you guys when the team news got announced, but I'm sure we was all thinking exactly the same thing. Like, fuck me, how's he named an unchanged team after what they served up on Saturday? That's probably what we were all thinking when we saw that lineup come out. And he said after the game, I named that team so they could go out and prove a point. And they did. Fair play to them.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, Chris. If you'd have beat Huddersfield and then lost to Leicester, the whole mood around the place probably would be very, very different, because we'd have still been in the same position, really. And Huddersfield would be one point worse off, because obviously, 3 points worse off, not one. And it just would have been a different feel. But this way, it's almost as if the players have reacted to Harris's comments after the game about some of them potentially not pulling their weight. And Harris did a very good job, which people have pointed out, of deflecting the blame onto the players rather than the management, rather than himself and the coaches. And the players have, to me, turned around and gone, oh, we'll show you. We'll show you what we're made of. And they did last night. Can't fault them.
You can't. And I echo what Dan said at the start, which is, to a man, everyone was outstanding. You know, like, to pick, for me, there was a man of the match. But you could, in theory, probably pick four or five. There really was so many players that could have been eligible for it. And it was an outstanding performance. And to your point, Stephen, we now have... momentum's a big thing in football. And if you'd have sort of, all right, in theory, if you'd have reversed those two results, we would have been better in terms of gap against Huddersfield. Understand that. But then they've just got battered 4-1, you know, away at Preston. And then we've just beaten the league leaders. So there's a lot to be said for that momentum. And we now go into Saturday's game against Cardiff, which I'm sure we'll cover off briefly later on, full of confidence and optimism, which is just, it is almost, in a weird way, it's turned out for the better.
It's a funny old game, isn't it? Because I think I was on the live Sunday and said, that's it, I think we're down. I've almost consigned myself to relegation now. And obviously we won last night. A couple of the other results went our way, which was good. It would have been probably ideal if QPR could have just held on a little bit longer against Plymouth. But pressures on Birmingham are going to be playing in about half hour's time from when we're recording this. They've kind of got to go out and get a result tonight now. Looking at it now, 47 points, you're thinking probably needs 2-3 more points. And as you just said there, momentum, potentially Cardiff team that are already on the beach on Saturday, it could present the perfect opportunity. So we've kept the season entertaining enough from the fans' perspective. But if they want to call it off early doors, I'll be quite happy for that, to be completely honest.
I think the other thing that it's not just momentum from our perspective and us going into the games in a positive frame of mind. I don't think you can underestimate the power that will have on the supporters of Birmingham, the supporters of Sheffield Wednesday, the supporters of Huddersfield, and the players and the coaches and the managers, because they'd have all looked at us and gone, nah, they're going to get battered. And I know everyone says anything can happen in football, but top of the league, Leicester, they've got over their mini blip, won a couple of games. I don't think it can be underestimated just how much of a blow that's going to be for the other teams at the bottom, because they'll look at that and go, Jesus Christ, we were pulling them in, and now they've given themselves the best opportunity. And that's, you know, Huddersfield wouldn't have known, obviously they were playing, but they've capitulated. They've absolutely capitulated last night, and it's,
well, they were
just
leading.
Yeah, at half time.
And the good thing is they haven't just lost. They've kind of taken a little bit of a thumping as well, which in terms of goal difference, because we mentioned that this is something we've talked about. We was marginally better than the other teams going into last night's game. Obviously, we're 3 points better off now. But I think if you look at a lot of the other teams' goal differences down there, especially Sheffield Wednesday, who look like they might get out of it, we're significantly better than them for a start, which is almost another point, because I don't think they're going to be making up around 15 goals on us.
Exactly, mate. And to go back to Stephen's point in terms of the impact on other teams and other teams' fans, I always, probably a bit of a geek, but I always look at the, you know, like the full-time post each of the other teams. I looked at Plymouth last night and there were at least half a dozen fans saying, ah, did Millwall win last, like tonight? You know, now that sucked us right. Like, so you, agree. And also I got one of my good mates is a QPR fan. And all of a sudden, we're now back on the same amount of points to them. We've got the same record. The only difference is they've scored one more goal than us. So we're basically level pegging with QPR. And I don't know if you've looked at their fixtures, but QPR's fixtures, they've got to play Hull, Preston, Leeds and Coventry. Now, I know who's running I'd rather have. And then finally...
Chris, just very quickly, from a Millwall perspective, I'd probably rather have their running that we've the team well, that we yeah. play against. Yeah.
That's true. That is a very good point, Dan. That's a very good point. And we all of a sudden also find ourselves now, all right, they've got a game in hand, the same points as Swansea, where we thought they would be out of sight coming the last game of the season. So I'm the same as you, mate. I had a bit of a mare getting home from Dublin on... I actually found out, I've got to tell you this, because I don't think I've shared this, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, right? Within 90 seconds, I found out that my flight home from Dublin was cancelled and that Huddersfield had scored. And I couldn't tell you at that moment in time what pissed me off more. So that was why there was no post-match after that game. But yeah, I'm the same. I went from, we're down, we're done. You know, Leicester are going to batter us 3-0 to now... possibly one win away from staying up. It's why we love the game though, right, chaps?
You were sat in the airport with your missus, weren't you, going, oh, we're going to Wickham, we're going to Cholton, we're going to Wrexham and all this. You can't help, but I mean, as Dan said as well, we did the live and the listeners that are watching this who obviously watch the lives as well and get involved, we were disappointed, we were angry, and there is a big value in perhaps not letting emotions run away from you when you do these. I think Chris is Chris is a good example of after the game, probably a lot more composed than what others would be. What I would be, for example, if I was doing, you know, especially after defeats and things like that. But we just looked gone. It just looked dead and buried. The looks on the players' faces. I mean, I was there. I saw the look on, you know, Zian Fleming's face and the young lads, S.A. Mayer. They looked broken at Huddersfield. They looked broken. But last night, again, you know, as Dan said, there are other issues, and you can't just let them be. Let them just go sort of park over there, because they will come back in the summer. But last night, the players played for their manager. They played for the supporters and they played for their livelihood in the Championship. And sometimes that's all you can ask for. And yeah, you need a little bit of magic.
John Berylson as well, because that's someone they haven't really played for all season.
100%. 100%. I'm not going to go full public apology on this, but I have given Jake Cooper a lot of stick, a hell of a lot of stick, because he's captain and I don't think he's been captain material. Last night, he proved a few people wrong.
Yeah, he looked like old Coops again personally. Last night, didn't he?
Still a long way to go, and yeah, it's only one performance. But he just looked a little bit more like, again, it's just that I'll show him. And if that's what it takes, fine. You know, getting that mentality. But I thought he was good last night.
Yeah, I'm going to move it on to another player who I thought was really good last night. And maybe a player that we probably wouldn't have seen unless... there was a certain incident, which was obviously George Honeyman picked up his injury. I was a bit gutted to see that, because I do like Honeyman. I think he's a really decent player for us. He's a proper Millwall player. When you speak about players like that, I think Honeyman certainly fits the bill. And obviously he's not someone who would go off injured if it wasn't something quite serious. And I think there was question marks about who was going to come on over him. And in the end, it was Romain Essay. And I thought, you know, it was about time Essay got the chance to show what he was capable of. And I thought he was excellent. I thought he just gave us a little bit more edge going forward because he wanted to get on the ball a little bit deeper and drive us forward a couple of times, didn't he?
Yeah. I'll be really honest with you. When I saw Honeyman coming off and I saw Essay coming on, I turned to my man and said, it's not the sub I'd be making. And that's me being honest. I've never really jumped on this Essay fan train. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I think he's very, very good, but I haven't got hyped as much as a lot of people have. I said I'd have brought Brook on or you know, even Idemo. But happy to admit I was wrong because I thought Essay came on and in some way, shape or form, you could say, changed the game. I think we don't have many players that are able to take a man on and beat a player and take us up the pitch. We don't have many at all. Romain Essay is one of them. And we have seen that before, but what we have not seen, in my opinion, and that's why I think it was his best performance in a Millwall shirt, albeit it was only for 40 minutes, is the combination of that coming off, but also his defensive work was good. And I felt it was a really good combination of those two things. And I think if he plays like that, Harris will trust him more. I still think there's something we don't know, and I don't know what that is. I'm not even going to try and speculate. But I think there's more to it in terms of why he doesn't have more minutes. I don't think it's as black as white as Harris don't rate him, because this is now the third manager that hasn't given many minutes. So I think there's something else we don't know. But that aside, I thought he was excellent yesterday when he came on.
The thing for me, one of the things you touched on, Chris, and just to elaborate, is the going forward. But it was also, if you take a look at Leicester, their wingers were right on the touchlines, making the pitch as wide as possible. So they had an outlet every single time. Now, we dealt with that pretty well. Let's be honest, you know, Leonard and McNamara had very good games, respectively. But it's no coincidence that the goal come from us stretching the play on one side, being right out on the wing, Longman driving at the fullback, and Essay being out on his wing, really stretching the game. And you know, I perhaps was on the hype train with Romain Essay. I do think there should be more minutes. There is more to the story. You're right that we don't fully know what's going on. Little bit of insight for anybody that doesn't know. Chris will be able to vouch for this. Romain Essay, was it last year? We were involved in the charity game, the Food Hub Cup, when Romain Essay was hanging around the club. I don't know why he was there, but he come into the changing room, said hello, and just the way he was. He loves his football. Loves his football. He's got a smile on his face. You can tell. And I think last night, when we saw him, I looked at my dad and I just said to him, I went, I think Harris he's having a wind up, because he'd give him 30 seconds on Saturday at Huddersfield and you'd have banked for all the money in the world that Brook Norton Cuffey would have been the sub. But very good. It is only 40 minutes and we can't get carried away. And the other thing is end product. It's very difficult to judge end product against Leicester, but he should have walked away with an assist because the pass to Obafemi, I think Obafemi probably should have done a little bit better.
Yeah, the pass was fantastic. And I think something that maybe one of the reasons we maybe hadn't seen him, I think particularly maybe why Rout was a little bit reluctant to maybe give him game time. And I think why Edwards earlier in the season went for Imaku over Essay maybe was because of the physicality. I think Imaku was much more used to it. And I think Essay, I know he'd had his minutes at the end of last season. He had looked a little bit lightweight, but he was putting his weight about and looked very comfortable, I thought, doing it last night.
Mm. And Imaku, you've got to remember, he does have a couple of years on him as well.
Exactly.
So that kind of physical growth, it's hard to remember that Romain Essay, he's only recently just turned 18, I believe. He's only recently passed his driving test. That was posted up on social media, wasn't it? Yeah.
So after he scored against Coventry,
he's still a boy. He's still a teenager. So there's definitely a player in there. I think maybe victim of the drastic changes through this season, and maybe a bit more of a stability might see some game time for him. But certainly with Honeyman out, it's very, very difficult for Harris now to not give him a start for me after the 40 minutes.
After that performance, yeah.
If he was the chosen one last night, he's taken his opportunity with both hands. It might not work, and I think we have to expect that. But I think you've got to encourage that kind of play and give him an opportunity.
I think the other thing to acknowledge there as well is, so by the way, before I make this point, I would start SA on Saturday. So I just want to say that really clearly. But it is very difficult to judge, and not just SA, I mean this to any player that comes off the bench. I used to say this about Amaku. Coming on in a game where a team is pushing forward, throwing, you know, bodies forward, they're trying to get a goal back, and they're leaving pockets of space, is very different to starting a game. It's a completely different mentality. Having said that, given the performance SA put in yesterday, I think he has every right to show us what he can do with a starting position and how he can apply himself and how he can, you know, impact a game from the start. So, but yeah, just one call out, because they were putting men forward, especially after we scored the goal, leaving lots of pockets of space. But then you've got to exploit those pockets of space, and SA did that. So I'm just making a point that it's not quite the same.
No, I think it's a very valid point. But I think, as we all said, I think Cuffy would have been the substitution naturally. So yeah. I think it's important to give Harrison praise for that as well, because obviously I think he's came in for quite a bit of criticism for, especially after the Huddersfield and Rotherham game. So I think it's important to give him credit where it's due. Just a couple more points quickly want to touch on. We'll very briefly discuss Cardiff, but just quickly wanted to touch on Bradshaw getting some minutes back into the pitch. I think not only is that going to be a positive for him, but I think it's also going to be a positive for Obafemi, because he's going to have some competition and he's going to get the chance to be rested a little bit more. Stephen, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, it might be coincidence, but Obafemi had some competition for the real competition for the first time last night in about a month, and he put in his best performance in a Millwall shirt. So, and he got standing ovation when he left the field. So it might just be a coincidence. It might be up raising his game because it's Leicester and a team at the top of the league. But competition for places is really good. It was really pleasing to see Bradshaw back in the squad. Just another option. So we're not just flogging Obafemi into the ground for 90 minutes. Nisbet potentially as well could be back on Saturday. So again, some more options for us at the right time in forward areas. But pleased to see Tom Bradshaw. But I wouldn't be, as much as we all love him on this podcast, and a certain Ben who probably give me pelters for this. I don't think Tom Bradshaw should be replacing Obafemi in the starting lineup on Saturday. I certainly think he should be the one to have the first bite at the cherry, if you will, and then Bradshaw to give him some respite, like last night, again on Saturday, because I think Obafemi's pace is really, really going to cause problems for any defence in this league.
Yeah. Chris, do you agree with that?
I do, mate. I do. I think, you know, it's great to have, you know, competition again. I think I also read earlier today that Nisbet will be back and involved in the squad.
Yeah, there's every chance he's going to be back on Saturday.
Which is great. We've needed that. You know, I think just to, you know, draw on the observation that we've had one fit striker that doesn't even belong to us available for some time is quite frankly a shambles. And the club have to take accountability for that. And you look at the bench in the last few games, you're like, well, what can I change in forward areas? So I think that's welcome. You know, even Rotherham were able to bring striker changes on. Like, it's embarrassing, but that's a side note. I think that what Bradshaw will do is, A, give Obafemi competition, but B, it will enable us to keep the intensity that we now see with Obafemi up for that 90 minutes. Because that was kind of the thing I felt we struggled with Obafemi. He could probably do it for 60, 70, but we had no one else to bring on. So we had to kind of try and plough through that 90 minutes. And this is a guy, Obafemi, that signed under Joe Edwards. And I would have imagined that he thought we would be creating lots of chances. He would almost basically just have to stand in the middle and try and score goals. And he's being asked to play a very different role. And you got to put yourself in his shoes, right? And I'd love to be in his shoes, by the way, earning 40 grand a week. But he's probably thinking, this is not what I signed up for. So I don't blame him for maybe him taking a bit of time to adjust to that. But I personally think it was his best performance in a Millwall shirt last night. And if only after doing all the hard work, could have just slotted that ball home, it would have been the perfect
time. Got his rewards, yeah. Just quickly before we move on, because there's still one more thing to discuss on last night's game. I don't disagree with the points that either of you made, but I think Obafemi's pace off the bench, it could be a game changer at times. And I think they're, I'm not saying off the back of last night that he should be dropped, but I think there could be an argument maybe that if he does want to change it up, because Obafemi's been playing 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes pretty much all the way since Harris has came in, at least since he's been fit, there could be the argument that Bradshaw could come in and start and do it for 60 minutes, and then you can get Obafemi on for the last kind of half hour to kind of stretch the game a little bit. I think there could be an argument for that. I wouldn't say Saturday, but potentially something to look at, especially if you're going to have Nisbet back as well.
It's nice to actually have, as I think Chris said it there, we've had one pitch strike for God knows how long. It's nice to be able for Harris to turn around, and if it's not working, you've got someone else that you can say, right, we're going to try this now. We're going to do it this way type of thing. It does
it's
make
a nice
a
problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just don't forget Maku. Sorry, Dan, as well. Yeah, Maku's pace from the bench is going to be really useful for us as well, I think. You know, it's quite clear he's clearly not fit yet, which is why he's not getting minutes, but hopefully, in the next game or so, we'll start to see him come into the forefront as well.
Definitely. And one last thing we want to touch on. I think, as we said right at the start when we started discussing the game, we did limit Leicester to not much. I know Sarkic had to make a good save in the second half. But they did have one really good chance. And just when we all thought that we'd thrown it away for what probably would have been probably about the seventh or eighth goal we've conceded in the 90-plus minutes this season, Up pops, I can't even get my words up now. I'm so excited about it. Up pops Billy Mitchell with a brilliant defensive header. That not even just a game winning 3 points, it's just probably a season defining 3 points that guarantees that.
Sorry, I thought Chris was going to go there. Yeah, I thought you were just about to give us some wisdom on Billy Mitchell. I have to say, again, another player I've probably given a lot of stick to and give him a bit of a hard time. Again, sometimes I don't think it's been unjust. I do think that there has been it's been up and down, but for a Millwall boy, you know, the come through the academy, to play a pivotal role in saving 3 points. I think his mum shared the clip on social media and loads of people have jumped on, obviously, on that, because obviously it's her boy. And of course, you know, you would with your kids and whatnot. It's superb. And you know, the reaction of Sarkic, I tweeted about this, the reaction of Sarkic, sometimes goalkeepers have got a bit of a reputation, they're a bit nuts and, you know, they make saves, but sometimes they need a little bit of help. They can't always do it all on their own. And he got it from Billy. There's a really great picture of Billy at the end of the game with Billy kind of jumped on Sarkic and they kind of embraced and absolutely delighted for him. And it was, and if you watch it back, if you look at it from the different angles, it's an outstanding piece of defending. To be able to get that ball over the crossbar, it's incredible.
It is. And it was easily 2 points that obviously he saved us there. But I also just want to touch on his overall performance as well. I think it was a super performance, like even before that. I think that was the icing on the cake. But, you know, in theory, he got an assist because he's the person that played Longman in. I watched the highlights back as well. And quite a few times they got into dangerous positions and he was there to kind of mop up. I think Billy Mitchell, and this is what Neil Harris is trying to do, right? And I'm not saying he's master tactician because I don't think Neil Harris is and I don't think he ever will be. But what he is able to do is to see players for what they are. And I think he's utilising Billy Mitchell in the role in which he suits, which is ultimately someone who is going to run around like a headless chicken. But that's probably doing him a disservice, with a bit more structure. Got a massive engine on him. He's able to receive the ball most of the time in tight spaces. He's never going to play a 50-yard through ball or whatever, but he will try and connect that back line to the middle. And I think that his performance last night was excellent. Close runner-up to man of the match for me, but not quite. I gave that to Ryan Leonard.
I was actually going to ask who was your man of the match, because you said it at the start when I said I was struggling to pick one out and you never actually went on to name who it was. So glad we've got that for clarification now.
On that, I would say that Ryan Leonard deserves 100% of the votes for player of the season.
He's got a bit of shoe-in, surely.
It, there's there is no, he is having the season of his life.
And let's not forget he's playing out of position as well.
Well, he is, but
I think I right don't back think is he's, now his position.
Yeah, yeah. He's
never really played there for us before this season.
No, he's a better right back than I think he is a midfielder. I think, you know, without going back and, you know, when we first signed him, he came in for big money. He was a replacement for George Saville, but he was never the replacement for George Saville. He wasn't that type of player. And that's what why he got a lot of stick and load of people give him dog's abuse. Let's face it, he got pelters for the majority of the first couple of seasons he was here. But he's having the season of his life. He's earning a contract for me. He's earning player of the season. And one of the managers in the Championship made a comment a couple of weeks ago saying that how good you have to be at fullback in this division, because you are constantly up against outstanding wingers week in, week out at this
probably
level.
Probably the best in the league last night. Matt Didi. I don't think that's much of an exaggeration.
You've got Clark at Sunderland. You've got Somerville, Dan James at Leeds. You've got the Adozie at Southampton. You've got the lads at Ipswich. You've got, you can fill a gene at Hull. You can reel off the names. Leeds aside, which there's no shame in that, Leonard has had outstanding performances up against the fullbacks that he's been against this season.
And I think he stayed fit most of the season, which has always been his problem. He's managed enough of the season for me to be my player of the season. We've got about 10 minutes left before we're going to wrap this one up. So I think we're just going to very briefly discuss Cardiff game on Saturday. So, chaps, after just beating 1-0, beating the league leaders 1-0 to potentially go 2 to 3 points clear of safety in another home game against the team that's already on the beach on Saturday, I ask you, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, God, Dan. I think you know the answer to that. It would just be typical Millwall to lose that game. I think, I think on paper, it's a very winnable game. You know, we're high on confidence. They've been very hit and miss since they kind of realised that they can't really do anything this season. I actually think they've overperformed, by the way, this season.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think that they're particularly strong on paper. But, you know, credit to them and their manager, they've overperformed. But it's a very winnable game. In my opinion, win that game and then don't lose to Plymouth, I think we're safe. In my opinion, I think the Plymouth game is still key, because if they match our result against on Saturday, then I think it's still key. So what could go wrong, your question was? Well, you know, a 0-1 and a first loss at home under Neil Harris. But we have the momentum now. I'm hoping it will be a full crowd on Saturday and those that didn't go yesterday.
I'm sorry to disappoint, mate. I can't make it Saturday, so there won't be a full crowd.
Well, at least give your season ticket to someone.
Stephen,
just to touch on that, you said there, Chris, the first defeat, potentially first defeat under Neil Harris. I'm not going to go down that route. I'm going to go on the route of, do we think that Neil Harris has banked on making the Den a fortress? The away form, I think Southampton was just a bonus. Let's be honest. It was a great day.
New manager bounce.
Unreal away day. The performance, the noise, the crowd, you know, everything about it was just incredible. But do you think he's just looked at it and gone, if I pick up, what, it's going to turn out he's going to have 6 home games. If he's probably thinking, if I can get 15 points out of them 6 home games, we'd be all right. And let's face it, we've got, what, 10 from 12. He's got 2 games left at home. I think he's just banked on it and it's worked. You know, people will say it's lucky. I saw someone reply to a tweet of mine earlier saying that Harris, it's the way the dice rolls playing this style of football. But his comment last night, the first comment on one of the interviews from Neil Harris was, I love this place, at talking about the Den. And I think he's thought, right, I'm going to get them playing here and this is what's going to get us over the line. So, yes, the unthinkable could happen. It really could. But I would be very, very surprised if we're not coming out all guns blazing on Saturday to try and get us over the line. Harris doesn't want to be going to Swansea and needing to get a result, or going to Sunderland and feeling like you have to win the game. He wants to do it on Saturday and he wants to do it against Plymouth, in my opinion.
Spot on. I think I agree with you there totally. And I think I think when Harris came in, let's be honest, right? He answered an SOS call, but he came in, and I think he obviously knew that he could keep us up. I don't think he would have taken the job if he didn't genuinely, but obviously he's going to say he think he can. But I think, you know, internally, and I do think, to your point, Stephen, he looked at it and was like, right, we've got a squad here that are half the team is still what I had before. So I know them and I know what they're capable of and what they're good at and what they're not good at. The new lads, obviously, you can rely on Barrett and whatever to tell him about that. And he's gone, okay, well, what is a good Millwall side under me? Okay, well, you know, we've got really strong shape. We're good at home. We're good at winning free kicks in areas to get lots of set pieces. You know, Savile's very good at that. I don't know if you noticed. Mm-hmm. He sort of
falls to the floor.
We're good at set pieces. And I also know that if I can get the Demrock in, we can make it a fortress. And I think you're right, Steph. I think he's looked at all those different things and said, right, I'm just going to stick to what we're good at. And yes, it does mean that it's going to be boring. It's going to be 4-4 fucking 2. And it also means that some of the players that we would all want to see on the pitch aren't going to play because he's entrusting players that he knows and trusts, which is like, you know, the likes of Denor. I think people will be disappointed that he's not playing a lot more. I'm sure he is. You know, Maku, Esse. But if it gets us over the line, who are we to argue?
That's it. He got given a brief when he came in. We don't know at this point whether they are planning to pay him off in the summer. Obviously, some people are saying he should, regardless what league we're in. We don't know that at this point in time. What he was brought in with when he came in at the end of February was, right, mate, you've got 2.5 months to get us over the line and make sure at least we finish at least 21st in this league, because you don't want to be going down. I don't think he wants to be going back down either. You know, the fact, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think Harris would be the type of person who's scared of going to Cambridge, but I don't think he'd particularly want to be going there knowing that he walked out of the club, which was, you know, giving him a chance after he'd just been sacked by Gillingham, and he jacked it in after what, like 15 games to come and take us. So yeah, I think I can agree with pretty much everything you gents have said there. And I think, you know, as I said, it's just, you just want to get it done sooner rather than later, don't you? We've had our nerves this season already. It'd be nice to get it done. But you'd probably wish we were probably playing someone who's a bit higher up the league again, because we all know what could possibly happen. The only thing that's maybe given me a little bit more confidence is that it is at the Den and we don't have to go to Cardiff. As you said, the home form is key, and that's what Harris knows he can do.
That's it. It's not rocket science. And maybe, you know, we say that Harris learned. He says he has. I'm not 100% convinced. He's learned at home. He knows how to get us playing at home. But it's the away from home performances that, you know, Southampton was it was a fluke. Let's be honest. You know,
Harris actually said after the game last night, it's the Millwall way, isn't it, to beat Leicester and then lose to Rotherham and Huddersfield. I mean, just because it's the Millway doesn't make it right by any means, but at this point it's any means necessary to get over the line.
And that's it. You've just got to get over the line. Next season we'll talk about it over the summer. We'll all have our opinions. We'll all, you know, think we should sign this player, we should do this. We'll have debate about Ryan Longman again if it comes up with his contract or whatever. But it's just, look, at the end of the day, last Monday it was panic stations. Saturday it was called the Samaritans, and today it's now, right, we're back, we've got a great chance, and it's in our hands again. It's Neil Harris's Millwall. What more could you possibly want?
Love it.
Maybe Steve. A few more goals. I don't know.
Right, well, I think I'm gonna ask you gents very quickly before we wrap this up. I know it's a bit early, I know it's only Wednesday, but some score predictions would be nice.
Go on, Chris. I'll let you go first.
Oh, he spoke first and then threw his mate under the bus. Outrageous.
Love it. So I've said this stat on a number of shows, and I'm going to say it again. The only team that we have beaten when we've had 50% possession or more in the last 12 months of football is Rotherham. That's it. So when we have 50% or more, we struggle. Cardiff are not known to have 50% possession. So this is going to be a game of two teams of, like, I don't want the ball, you have it. No, I don't want the ball, you have it. So I think that will make for quite a boring game. So I'll go with my heart and say that we'll get over the line 1-0. It will be ugly. I think the last two times we played Cardiff at home, I think it's, there's only been like one goal max in each of them. So I'll go with that, but I'll say 1-0, get over the line, Obafemi to finally get his goal at home. And yeah, we're very, very close to safety. That's what I'll go with.
Stephen?
Jake Cooper's finally going to score the goal that gets that monkey off his back, and it's going to send us into a little bit of a frenzy. Now, I, like Chris said, I'm not expecting goals. It doesn't scream a game, does it? That's entertaining and end to end. It screams.
It's not going to be one for the football purists.
No. Even the supporters of both teams are probably thinking, "Oh God, like this could be interesting." I'll go 1-0. We've said it so many times. Omar, I think, has lost so much money betting on Jake Cooper to score a goal this season. It's just gone on and on and on. So it's got to happen at some point. So after a good performance on Tuesday against Leicester, I think Cooper will score the goal. And I won't say that it will make us safe, but if we do get that three points on Saturday, we'll be very, very close to it. Very close to it.
Yeah. I'm going to, after listening to the arguments you lads have both put across, I'm going to, firstly, I'm not going to predict us to win, but B, I'm also going to ignore the fact that there's not been many goals between us, and we're going to say we're going to draw 2-2. But I'm going to go with a combined Obafemi and Cooper goal from both of you guys there to, I think, sign this one off. And on that note, Chris, I think this has been the first show I've done with you, mate. So a pleasure to do this one with you. I think it has been. Yeah, I don't recall doing one with you before. So,
no, well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for hosting, Dan. Great job, and yeah.
No worries. I appreciate that, mate. Thank you very much. And Stephen, I know quickly you might want to say your thing about your Byron Webster shirt very quickly.
I actually wasn't going to, but I will. I am auctioning off. Thank you, Dan. One of our listeners and a long-standing season ticket holder, John Reynolds, kindly donated Byron Webster's match-worn shirt in Tony Craig's testimonial. He gave it to me as part of fundraising for Mind that I'm doing this year. We'll put link in description for it's a raffle, £5 a ticket if you want to enter. The raffle closes a couple of days before the Plymouth game at home, so I'm able to get the shirt to whoever wins on the final game of the season. So the link will be in the description. £5 a ticket. It's all signed. I've got all the authentication and bits and pieces and whatnot. And if you're a fan of memorabilia, why not?
And just quickly before I sign this off, the bloke who's very kindly donated his shirt to you, has he also purchased a ticket in the raffle? Because if he has, I think we can all sense where this one might end up going.
No, he hasn't. In the interest of fairness, Raffle are dealing with everything. I don't get involved. All they do is send me the money to send to mine, which obviously I'll share online that it makes sure it goes to the right place and all of that. But John, who does listen to the show, I very much appreciate it. He wanted to help me raise a few more funds. So very, very much appreciated.
No, good on you, mate. And everyone listening, thank you very much. Support is appreciated. You know where you can find us, subscribe, drop us a like, all that good stuff, social media, WhatsApp community, all the stuff that Mickey and Omi usually say that I'm still not qualified enough to say as a host yet. What I can tell you is that someone, maybe one of us three, will be back on Friday night to do the live. But until then, have a good week. And I don't know who Birmingham are playing tonight, but hopefully they lose. Come on,
Cardiff.
Lions. Right, there you go. Well, I'm a Cardiff fan for a little bit then tonight. Anyway, come on, you Lions.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.